Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and we look at the Tosfos at the top of the page. Hoya Kore Im Kivein Libo Yotza. Our Mishnah that opened up the second parak said that describes someone who was reading in the Torah. If he had intent, so then he will be in fulfillment. Yushalmi Aminon, the Talmud Yushalmi, it says Zoyse Meres Brochos Einon Me'akvois. The Afalpi Shelo Omar Shtayim Lefoneo Ushtayim Lachreho Yotza. From this Mishnah, you see that the reciting of the Birchas Kriya Shema, the two before and the two after, are not binding upon one's ability to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Imlo came, because if you were to say that the brachas are ma'akvos, tikshi, mai mahani, and kivei libo, you would then ask, what benefit is there to one who does have intent? Hare lo birech trila, we're talking about someone who's reading a Torah scroll. He's in the middle of reading the Torah. He didn't say the brachos beforehand. He's in the middle of reading the Torah. He comes up to the portion where the Shema is mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, and he reads the Shema. There was no recitation of the brachos, and yet we see that if he has intent, he fulfills his Kriya Shema requirement even without having recited the brachos. V'im Toimar, you might ask, Ho b'perek kamo maskinon, in the first perek of our Masechta, Daf Yud Beis, we concluded Seder Brochos Ein Ma'akvos, the order of the Brochos is not binding, Ha Brochos Ma'akvos, but the Brochos themselves are binding upon the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Yesh Lomar, the Hosam Airi Betzibor. That conclusion, or that inferred conclusion regarding that which was taught in the first parak, where Brochos are Ma'akvos, that is when you're dealing with the public, a public fulfillment of Kriya Shema. Daikonami, and by careful reading of that which we learned in the first parak, proves this. Dikotoni, there it was a Mishnah from Maseches Tamid, where the Kohanim were the focus of the discussion, and it said there, Omar Lohem Hamemuna, the appointed one said to them. So that you see that that source was dealing with a public, it was a group, it was the Kehanim in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a tzibor. There, we would insist upon the recitation of the brachos along with the Kriya Shema, because it's tzibor. But a private individual, he could be Yotzei Kriya Shema even without the recitation of the brachos. Uv Emtza, Shoel, Mipnei, V'chulei. This section of the Mishnah was dealing with the issue of interruption during the recitation of Kriya Shema for the purpose of greeting people. Uposak Rabbeinu Shmaya de b'mokim she'osur l'saper osur l'daber afilu b'loshon hakodesh, that in those parts that it's osur to speak, even speech in Hebrew would be forbidden. V'chein mashma mitoch masnisin. And it's also would be understood that way from the Mishnah, so that one shouldn't think that we might make some exception for speech done b'loshon hakodesh. Uv Yushalmi komar afilu be'emtza haposuk. The Yushalmi says that the issue of emtza, that you're allowed to interrupt, means even in the middle of a posuk, not just in the middle of the paragraph, but between psukim, but even in the middle of a posuk. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yosef Omar v'dibarto bom. Those words come from the Kriya Shema. Mikan, from this we learn, shiyesh l'cho rishus l'daber bom. Literally, to speak in the midst of them, meaning in the midst of reciting the Kriya Shema, you can speak something else. So that this would be a source for allowing an interruption, even in the middle of the pasuk. And of course, given the the requirement that the person is, let's say, a fearsome individual. V'hainu nami diamrina perakama diyumo, and likewise in the first parak of Maseches Yuma it says v'dibarta bom, that you can speak in them v'lo b'tfila. Pir she'ein mishivin bo l'pnei akovin. When it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, there is no allowance to answer, to offer a response out of honor. But in the case of Kriyat Shema, since it says v'dibar tovam, one would be allowed to interrupt for the purpose of responding mitnei hakoved. Bekore lahagia. We were involved in understanding the Mishnah through the Gemara. The Gemara had asked, what does it mean in kivein libo? And we didn't want to conclude that you have to have kavona for mitzvos, so as not to raise a question on Shitas Rabba. So the Gemara answered, explained, this person had been reading for lahagia, for checking for mistakes, and if he has intention for reading, not for mitzvah fulfillment, but rather intention for reading, then he will be in fulfillment of Kriyat Shema. Pirush Bekoshis, Tosis quoting Rashi, says, She'ein miskavein likrois. Kori lagia is someone who did not have intent for reading. But Tema akati kokori, but still he is reading. We said he's kore lahagia. He's reading for the purpose of checking for mistakes. So how can you explain that he had not had kavona for reading when he was reading? Al kein nire. The kore lagia, what does that mean? She'en o kore hatevois kihilchosan uchenekudosan. Person who is reading when he's checking for mistakes, he's not reading the words as are vowelized and as are required to be read. Ela, so how is he reading? Kiksivason kori. He is reading them as the letters appear in a phonetic fashion, we can say. And why would one read in a phonetic fashion? Kedei lahovin b'chaseros u'b'yaseros. There are many situations in the Torah where letters that would serve as vowels are actually left out. Those are chaseros, missing letters, and some situations where there are extra letters, though they are extra letters, they are really not pronounced. So, but in the writing of the Torah, if something is to be absent, in other words, a vowel or a letter is absent, even though it is to be read, when you read it for checking for mistakes, you would read it making sure it's absent. And the only way to accomplish that would be by reading it in a phonetic way. And likewise, with regard to Yeseros, there may be a situation where there is an extra letter that must be written but not pronounced. But to make sure that it's there in a written form, you would have to read it phonetically, even though that's for checking for mistakes. Even though when you're reading it from the Torah as a part of a Torah portion, for example, you would not pronounce it. Kimo, and now he gives us examples of words that the phonetic reading would be different than the way you would read it when you're fulfilling the mitzvah. However, in order for the Torah to be written properly, it has to be read in this way, in this phonetic fashion. Kimo, le tatfas umezuzas. In other words, when you write the Torah, it has to be written like this. However, when you read it in a siddur, for example, you read it from the Torah scroll, the reading must sound leto tofos. But you'll notice the vav, which serves as a letter and a vowel at the same time, is not present. So that in pronouncing these words, you would have to read leto tofos, as if a vav was there. But when you're checking it for mistakes in terms of the writing, it would be more accurate to read it as letatfas and mezuzas as opposed to umezuzos, which is the way we would ordinarily read it. The imkivein libo, that expression imkivein libo, which literally would mean some type of mental intention, Lav dafka, it doesn't mean that over here. Elo kloimar, but it rather means to say likrois kedin, kenekudoson u kehilchoson. Which, practically speaking, means that if you're dealing with someone who had been checking a Torah scroll for mistakes, and he was reading in a phonetic way, if when he gets to the parsha of Kriyashma, in other words, he's checking Sefer Torah, and he gets to the portion of Eschanan where the parsha of Shema Yisrael appears, if at that point he switches mode and there reads it in the with the vowelization and the proper way of reading, then he would be Yotzei. That's what Im Kivein Libo means. Would mean for, as we said, if at that point he changed mode, he would be in fulfillment. We saw Machlokis, Rebbe, and the Rabbonin about the recitation of Kriyashma in other languages. The halacha will follow the Chachomim and not Rebbe because of a rule. The halacha k'Rebbe mechaveroi, v'loi mechaverov. We follow Rebbe in an argument that he may have with another colleague. However, not when he is opposed by a majority. That's what this rule means. Halacha k'Rebbe mechavero, over his friend, over his colleague, but not over colleagues in the plural. V'oid derabonon sviro lehu. Furthermore, the Rabbanon hold Kemad Yomar Loi Hishmia LaOzno Yotza, that one who says the Kriyashma without hearing it is in fulfillment. The Kavosei Paskinon LeKamon, and like that opinion, we rule. Now, that being said, that you don't need to hear, the idea of needing to hear or not surrounded how you darshan the word Shema. Now, Rebbe had darshan the word Shema, meaning you must hear. But we paskin, we rule like the Mandomar that you don't need to hear. Therefore, the use of the word Shema in a psak fashion is not here for the purpose of teaching me that you must hear, because we paskin, you don't need to hear. So what am I going to do with the word Shema? So therefore, I will use that for b'chol loshayin she'ata shomea, just like the Chachomim said, and that's what Tosfos is pointing out. We're ruling that way. The Lashon HaKodesh Nemra, there's another girsa here that says B'chol Lashon, regarding the rest of the Torah. So, how are we to conclude regarding the rest of the Torah? Now, when we speak about the rest of the Torah, what do we mean? Pirish Rashi, Berek Shem in Megillah, Likrois B'Torah. That means for reading the Torah portion, the weekly Torah portion, is what is intended here by the idea of the rest of the Torah. Veloi nehira. It doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem that that's the intention, not like Rashi. In other words, Tosfos doesn't like the Rashi's pshat when in expressing what does it mean the rest of the Torah. Now bear in mind that we're right now darshaning Torah words. We're darshaning the words Shema, the word Vehoyu. What do they refer to? So Tosfos says it doesn't seem like Rashi's pshat to ha Ezra tikein kriyas haTorah. Ezra, who lived many years after the giving of the Torah, lived at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period, he established the reading of the Torah. Umekami de'osa Ezra, before Ezra came along, v'hoyu lomo li. What would I have done with the word v'hoyu? If I'm taking v'hoyu to mean that it shall be as it is, and that meaning in Hebrew, and as Rashi says, that's a reference to the Kriyashma being need to be read in Hebrew in addition to the rest of the Torah, let us say, to be read in Hebrew. That would all be fine and good after Ezra, but before Ezra came, when there was no issue of reading the rest of the Torah. So what would V'hoyu accomplish for me? Therefore, V'yesh loymar, Tosfos comes up with his own pshat, of what is meant by the rest of the Torah. The Mairi, that this Gemara is speaking, b'parshios hamechuyovim likros daraisa, other Torah sections that on a Torah level need to be read. Kamo Parshas Zohar, like the Parshas Zohar, which we customarily read before Purim. That is something that is Torah-based, the Parsha recounting Milchemes Amalek. Inami, another possibility, would be Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Meiser, Parshas Chalitza, three other examples of sections from the Torah that must be read on their respective occasions regarding the bringing of the Bikurim, or at the end of the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, and it's year four and year seven, we do Vidui Meiser and Parshas Chalitza when a woman is not going to marry her husband's surviving brother, and she opts to do Chalitza for Yibum, a Torah section is read. Shem Mitzvah B'Torah Likroson. Those are Torah-ordained readings, so that the Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos is what is intended by our Gemara when it speaks about the rest of the Torah in as opposed to Kriyashma. So according to Rashi, the rest of the Torah meant the rest of the Torah, literally, the weekly Torah reading. And as far as Tosfos is concerned, the rest of the Torah meant other sections of the Torah that are Torah-ordained in their need to be read. Afal Pikein, Tosfos is making what seems to be a tangential point, but he says, nevertheless, b'chol loshon nemra b'sinai, the Torah, when it was given at Mount Sinai, was given in all languages. Shekol dibur v'dibur shayotzu mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word that emanated from the Almighty, hoya mischalik l'shivim loshon, was automatically divided into the 70 languages of the world. So that the concept of the rest of the Torah being stated in other languages is something that was of an initial historical nature. But the focus of our Gemara, and that's what Tosfos is trying to point out, even though historically the rest of the Torah may very well have been in all languages, we are talking about our need as Jewish people, our need to recite other sections of the Torah. And it's under those circumstances that we are talking in our Gemara of it being in other languages. Ad kan mitzvahs kavona. So Tosfos says, what does that mean, up till here is mitzvahs kavona? Ad b'chol me'oidecha. Sheshnei psukim elu, the psukim of Shema, and v'ohavta es Hashem Elokecha, are to be done with intent. Now, what is special about those first two psukim? Sheshnei psukim elu medabrim b'yichud Hashem, the unification of Hashem, or the unification, meaning the establishing of the Almighty as the one and only, the love, the ohavto es Hashem Elokecha, and ubiroso, the need to have fear and awe of the Almighty. So that's why these first two psukim are so important, and hence kavona is necessary. The Rashi, we pointed out earlier, he learned an additional pasuk needs to have kavona, which was including the pasuk of ending with al levavecha, as Rashi himself said, which is the third pasuk, v'hoyu hadvor me'ila shonochim etzavacha hayom al levavecha. Continuing with Tosfos on Omid Beis, asher onochi mitzavacha. De'i kideko amris, if as you said. Now we should actually recount what the point here was. There was a machlokas in this Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer indicated just the first couple of psukim need kavana,
And Rabbi Kiva says the entire first paragraph needs kavana. And Rabbi Akiva is saying to Rabbi Eliezer, "De'i kideko amres, if it's as you said, havile lemichtav, it should have said asher tzivisicha, asher anochi tzivisicha." The mitzavcha, the expression that does appear in the word in the Torah, the word mitzavcha, mashma afilu mikan ve'elech. In other words, as the pasuk says, "V'hoyu hadvorim ha'ela," these words, "asher anochi mitzavcha," that I command you, the word mitzavcha in Rabbi Kiva's eyes include that which appears after the words as well, meaning the rest of the paragraph, not like you, Rabbi Eliezer, said that ending with these words until this point, but rather beyond this point also needs al levavecha, needs intent. Umi kol makom itzdirich ho'ele, I still need the expression ho'ele, which was a limitation expression, the lav hochi, had I not had the word ho'ele, have amino the af parsha shnia b'chal, I would have thought that the second paragraph is also included needing the same standard. And to that far, even I, Rabbi Kiva, does not go. Omar Rava, Tosfos goes on, Omar Rava, halacha to Rabbi Meir. That means that the first pasuk alone needs kavona, needs the reading with intention, v'chi hilchasa, and thusly we will rule the kaimelon kerava to havi basra. Rava is the one that appeared here as ruling like Rabbi Meir, and Basra means he is a later authority, and being that he is a later authority, his ruling carries more legal significance for us as far as halacha lemaisa is concerned. So that even though we saw other opinions, we saw, for example, Rabba Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan ruling like Shitos that said that the entire first paragraph needs kavana. Rava, who is later than Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, he rules like Rabbi Meir, telling us that only the first pasuk requires kavana. Al levavecha be'amida. At this point, the Gemara had been discussing the issue of needing to be motionless for a certain amount of the Kriyat Shema recitation. B'Yushalmi Meforish, lav di hav hoya yoishev omed. The Gemara here that says al levavecha be'amida is not coming to tell me that had a person been seated, he must stand. That's not the point. Elo dim hoya mahalech omed. All that the Gemara is trying to say, that if he was in a state of motion, if he was walking, he must become motionless. And what's the significance of this ruling? As the Afal Gav, the Beis Hillel Amri Kol Adam Kari Kedako, even though Beis Hillel already ruled that all people can read as they are, even as they are walking along the road. Mikol Mokom Mitzvah and Amuvchor Lamud Shumahalech. It's nevertheless the choice way of fulfilling the mitzvah by to become motionless, to stand, to become stationary when he had been walking. L'fisheino miyushiv kol kach. He's not so concentrated when he's walking. V'ene yochel l'chavik shumahach. He can't have intention for the mitzvah, or he can't have intention for the words when he's walking. Kasher oyomed, as if, or as best, or as good as if he were motionless. V'chein halocha de mahalech baderech. So too the halacha is that one who is walking, mitzvah lamud v'posuk rishon, and it's a mitzvah to be motionless for the first posuk. Uboinon kavona b'posuk rishon levad, and you need to have intention for this mitzvah during the first posuk alone. V'chein isa b'tanchuma, Rav Yuda b'shem Shmuel Omar osu lekabel of olmach u'shamayim shumahalech ela yamud v'yikra. And you see this ruling as well in the Medrash, that in the name of Shmuel, that it's also to accept upon oneself the Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven, meaning the recitation of Kriyat Shema while he is standing, but rather he must be while he is walking, but rather he must be motionless. the Yikra and read it that way. Say it, pronounce it, read it while standing. And Kabbalah Zomach HaShemayim is associated with the first Pasuk. Ukshiyagiyah Levahavta, Yelech Kedarkon. When he gets to the second Pasuk, he can continue on his way. Shoyal Mipnei Hayira V'chulei. We saw a Machlokes Tanoim about interruptions in the Kriya Shema and the issue of initiating and responding. We had a machlokes between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, where we saw Rebbe Yehuda being more lenient or more flexible in his approach. Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. There is a rule that when you have a machlokes between these two tanoim, we will paskin like Rebbe Yehuda. The Omar, who says afilu be'emsa, that if you're in the middle of a paragraph, meshiv mipnei hakovod, so that even if you're in the middle of a paragraph, you have the right to respond if the initiator was someone of honor. Im kein nireh, from this it would appear shemuter lanois kaddish ukdusha be'emsa kriyashma, that one would be allowed to respond to the kaddish and the kedusha that is recited in shul. Namely, you have a situation where you're in the middle of kriyashma, but the tzibor is hearing the kaddish, or they're already repeating the Shmon Esrei and they've reached the kedusha section, that you can answer those passages be'emsa kriyashma, even though you're in the middle of the kriyashma. The ein lochem b'nei kovod gadol mizeh. There is no greater example of a response because of the due honor. Here we're talking about the honor of the Almighty. Avo be'emsa shmoine esrei osur, but to respond to kaddish and kedush in the middle of one shmoine esrei, that would not be allowed. De mashma. The mashma lekamon beperek ein oindin. It appears it is implied there in the fifth perek. The bein geula litfila ein lanos. There it speaks about an interruption between the end of the kriyashma, the goal Yisrael, and the beginning of Shmon Esrei. One should not answer kaddish kedusha. The kol shekein betfila atzma, and certainly not in the middle of the Shmon Esrei itself. Umi shemispalu levado. Someone who is davening on his own, let's say someone finds himself in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei while the Tzibor is already listening to the Chazoras Hashatz, and the Shliach Tzibor gets to the Moedim section where everyone bows and recites the Moedim Derabbanon, what should you do? Yishche, bow the Moedim, avalo yoimar Moedim. Do a bowing action, but don't recite it after you're in the middle of your personal Shmon Esrei. V'davka she'be'emsa habrocha. This rule of your bowing is if you're in the middle of one of the brachas of Shmon Esrei, one of the middle brachas of Shmon Esrei. Avol b'soif habrocha loy. Let's say you're at the end of a bracha. Let's say you said Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Oyev Tzedakah Mishpat. So you're at the brach, you're at the end of that, you're at Baruch Atah Hashem. That's called Sof HaBracha, which began Hashiva Shoifteinu Kevarishana. Now you're at the end of the bracha. There you should not bow, even though the Shliach Tzibor is reciting Moedim, and the rest of the people are also bowing. Why should you not bow B'Sof HaBracha? Why not? The nirek kireya b'shvil habracha. It looks like your bowing is a bowing because you've reached the end of a bracha. V'aminon di'ein l'chra b'chol habracha sel boisin shetiknu chachamim. There's a rule stated in the Gemara that there should be no bowing for the other brachas other than those that were established by the chachamim, and that does not include any of the middle brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei. Rabbeinu Tam hoya rogil sheyamantin b'oisefele kidei lanois kadesh u'kedusha im hatzibor. Let's say, in the case of Rabbeinu Tam, if he found himself in a situation where he was, we'll call it, a bit behind, and the Tzibor was saying, was going to hear the Kaddish recited or the Kedusha, he would pause at the point in the Kriya Shema, the Birchas Kriya Shema, where we say, so he would get to Oisei Fele, And everything, of course, it was timed. He realized that he wouldn't be able to finish what he needed to daven before the tzibur would get to Kaddish or Kedusha. So he would pause at Osei Fele, Kedei Ligmor Es HaKoil, Kedei Lanois Kaddish U Kedusha Ima Tzibur. So by pausing there, he would at that point still be able to answer Kaddish and Kedusha. And as we said before, this would be an example of Be'emtza HaPerek, and that's a good place to pause in order to answer the Kaddish and Kedusha, which we said that's called Meshiv Mevnei HaKovet, and that's allowed even Be'emtza HaPerek. Kedei Lanos Kaddish and Kedusha Im HaTzibor V'hoyo Sover Afilu Shoh Kedei Ligmor Es HaKoil Eino Chozer LaRosh. Rabbeinu Tam was of the opinion that if he would, let us say, he had to pause here at Osei Fele, and his pause would be a very long pause, enough time to have said the entire Kriya Shema up till this point. But he paused there waiting for the Tzibur to get to either Kaddish or Kedusha. That's okay. That long pause would not constitute an interruption. And that's what's meant by afilu shok kedei ligmor es hakol. That's eino chazer l'rosh. It's not considered a hefsik that would force you to go back and say everything all over again. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.